Thank you, choir, for your faithful service leading us in worship. An atheist fell off a cliff, and as he was tumbling down the side of the hill, he was able to grab onto a branch of a small tree. And as he hung between heaven and 1,000 feet below him, he didn't know what to do. He knew he had to hang on to survive. Then he got an idea. With all the strength he had, he said, "God!" And he was silent. So he tried again. "God, help me. If you exist, if you save me, I'll do whatever you tell me to do." And suddenly he heard something. He almost lost his grip. This booming voice bounced off the cliff. He said, "Well, that's what they all say when they get in a pickle." And he said, "No, God, I'm serious. This time I'm really serious. Why, I've already begun to believe in you. And if you save me, I'll do whatever you say. I'll proclaim your good news." "Very well," said the voice. "I shall save you. Just let go of the branch." "Let go of the branch," he said. "You think I'm crazy?" Our gospel reading is about Jesus telling his would-be followers, as well as his disciples, whether they are willing to kiss everything goodbye and believe in God, whether they can trust in God, the messenger that Jesus, God has sent, this Jesus, or whether they'll be like this distraught man caught thinking, "God, do you want to be known as a crazy guy? Why should I let go of what I have or what I know to be true and believe in you? Can you really save me? Do you have what it takes to save me?" During the next several weeks, I want to look at the class of 2025. These are our children who enter school this fall in the first grade. In the year 2025, who will they be without the things that they own? Now, I'm just like them. I'm as good a consumer as these kids will become in 2025. I have my taste. Instead of an iPhone, I have an Android, and I'm proud of that. I don't have a Mac, and I'm trying to get used to it in the office. I don't do Facebook, and I don't do Twitter, but I know how to communicate in my own way. I use TripAdvisor to look up information about where I'm going next. I don't use Priceline, and I don't do Travelocity. All of us kind of stick to our own brands, don't we? They are telling us that by year 2025, for the Christmas of 2025, our kids, Google, will be able to tell them exactly what they want and what they need. They're going to become consumers, just like us. So I wonder, what are they going to be without the things they own? Who will the class of 2025 be without the stuff around them? In Jesus' day, family was everything. Even to our ears, the words that Jesus spoke seem very harsh when he says, "Unless you love me more than your family, your brother, sister, husband, children." Actually, the word used there is hate. "Unless you hate your family, then you cannot be my disciple." Well, in Jesus' day, family was primary and paramount. You were a son of someone or a daughter of someone. Being part of the family was the way you survived. He gave you access. He gave you protection. He gave you a way to survive. That's why in the Bible, there's a continuous proclamation of the prophets that we need to take care of those who have no family, right? The widows, the orphans, the aliens who are in a strange land. So for Jesus to say, hate your family and follow me, that sounds like a crazy idea. Why would you do that? Because you need your family to survive. Is there something greater than that? Is there another to which we should be affiliated with? Is there a more primary relationship that should guide us in life? Jesus reminded his disciples of that paramount relationship on the last night he shared his meal with his friends. You remember, at that dinner table, Jesus took on the role of a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. He fed them bread and wine, prepared a meal for them. And then, as his last will and testament, he gave them a new commandment. Actually, it was not a new one. It was an ancient one. He just revived it. He wanted them to rediscover it in their own times. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Throughout his ministry, he had made Luke 10:27 the core of his message. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was it. That was what he stood for. That was what he preached. And on that last night, he reminded them that this was to be their primary relationship. Foreign scholars have come to this land and have given us various evaluation of what America is. De Tocqueville, when he was here as a Frenchman, he said that America was great because she could always repair herself. I've been reading a book by Edward Luce. He's the Washington Bureau Chief of Financial Times, the British economic paper. He wrote a book last year called Time to Think Again, America in the Age, what was the title? America in the Age of Dissent. The book is not a positive book. He gives us a rather drear picture of where we are today. The main problem, he says, is that we have lost the middle class. Not only the middle class, but the social values and the social capital that they had to affect the life we live. And so we've now lost what is our common good. Everyone is trying to fight for a piece of the pie for themselves. Even our leaders, especially in Washington, are so caught up in protecting their own interest that they don't know how to speak about the common good that we need. I will be referring to Mr. Luce's book in the next few weeks, but my focus is on the class of 2024, 2025. People tell us that this class will have a lesser knowledge of who Jesus is, because they will grow up in homes with even less ties to Jesus and the Christian church. So we have a big job ahead of us. They'll ask of us, who is this Jesus that you worship? What will we answer to this class? They will ask of us, what is this good news that you folks talk about? Ultimately, they'll ask us, so what would it mean for me, this Jesus, and this good news that you proclaim? I believe the only way that we will proclaim Jesus and share this good news with them is through the life that we share together as this community, as this family. the way we live together, treat each other, worship together, pray for each other, serve one another, and by the way we serve our community. Words don't matter much to this class. Our written statements of belief doesn't make much difference to them. Only when we show by our life and our actions will they believe that Jesus is alive, that he's our living teacher, and that the good news is indeed the good news. What is it going to cost us to become this excellent church with this excellent message? I hope that our church can make our children the priority of our ministry. We say that how we raise our children will have impact in ways that we can't tell. How we raise our children will most determine our future, not just for them, but the ripple effect will affect our families and our world as well. So how will our church support our families? How can we do that so that our parents can become attentive parents? Can we make sure that each child that enters our church doors feel welcomed and are shown models of love and patience and understanding and openness? Will they see that in us? And will we help our families to live that, supporting our moms and dads, grandparents, so that they can model that for our children? In your bulletin, you will find a half a sheet of paper called Taking Faith Home. I hope that you'll have a chance to look through that. There are daily Bible readings, prayers that you can share around the table, as well as some good practices, some new rituals and habits and traditions that you can build in your homes with your kids and even with your grandkids and great-grandchildren. By the time our children graduate in 2025, they will be looking for a new brand of spirituality. What will be our brand? What would we say to them that we stand for? It's not going to be easy to change, to be a church for our children and their families. General Eisenhower said at the evening of the D-Day operation, there will be, he said, no victories at bargain basement prices. It's going to require of us some sacrifices that we make, how we arrange our budgets, how we assign our resources and our staff. But I hope that you are ready to let go and let God take us into the future, because our children demand it and deserve it, and our families need the support of our churches, and because Jesus would have us do no less. The Jewish people have a wonderful picture of Moses before the Red Sea. It is said that when Moses threw his wand into the Red Sea, the miracle didn't happen. But it only happened when the first person was willing to step into the waves. And then a road appeared before them, opening doors to the future. We will share the communion today. I hope that as we share the communion, it will remind us of the life that Jesus has given to each one of us, and the potential that we hold in this place to be the people of God, to be people who have this living waters inside of us, and that we can be changed, that our world can be a different place. As we share around the table, may we become the body and the blood of Christ in our world today, not only for our children, but also for our society, which so much needs people who know what the common good is and who are willing to make the right sacrifices that are needed. May we be ready to welcome a new world and the class of 2025 who are growing right in front of our eyes. Thanks be to God for the good news and for Jesus who has come to show us the way. Amen.